think of all the things that surprised me the most when I went from being an actor to going into casting was no one has time anymore to invest or indulge a temperament. Your reputation seems to be much, much more important than it used to be.
Welcome to Casting Actors Cast. Insights for actors on acting in the business of show. Casting director Jeffrey Dreisbach takes you behind the scenes and reveals secrets to a successful acting career. You can find out more on the web at castingactorscast.com. Please enjoy, like, and share Casting Actors Cast. Now, here's your host, Jeffrey Dreisbach.
Welcome to Casting Actors Cast. I'm Jeffrey Dreisbach. Welcome back, actually. This is, I think, number 9 in our series of podcasts, and it's really great to have you here today. I'm also trying out a new microphone today, so let me know what you think. Speaking of getting in touch, you can certainly find out more information about the podcast at castingactorscast.com, or you can email me. Love to get some emails, some feedback perhaps, or some questions for future episodes, and that's castingactorscast@gmail.com. So I am Jeffrey Dreisbach, and I wanted to tell you quickly about a class that we had last night. It was really such a fun class where I assigned scenes to the students, and we had a reader read for each of the actors in the scene, gave some feedback, and made some adjustments. And in a future podcast, I'm really going to zero in on doing some scene work, not only in an audition, but even in a callback. What can you do to enhance the work? So please stay tuned and listen to podcasts. I'd love to have this continue to make an acting career stand out. But today's episode is all about the resume. We talked about the picture in our last podcast. So it's really kind of a good thing that we're now talking about what's on the back side of your picture, which is your resume. And if you are writing a professional resume for acting, here's a brief how-to today. 20 minutes worth of information regarding what goes on the resume. First and foremost, size matters. As far as your resume is concerned, your one-page resume will be stapled to the back of your 8x10 headshot. So it absolutely needs to be 8x10. Trim your resume so that when you print it, it fits exactly on the back of the resume. Or you can even buy paper from a shop willing to cut the whole ream down to an 8x10 size. It gets really frustrating sometimes when I get a resume and the 8.5x11 is stapled down to an 8x10. It just kind of gets messy, oftentimes gets lost. You only need two staples, one at the top, one at the bottom. And understand the bigger concept about a resume. The resume should be, the best way to describe it, I guess, is a one-page magazine article about you. So if you were a casting director, what would you want to know about this talent that you might not have ever met before or are meeting for the first time? So at the very top of the page, we need your name and your height. We also need to know if you're represented by somebody, if it's an agent or a manager, we need their contact information at the very, very top. We do not need to know your weight. We do not need to know your age, which is illegal, by the way. We can't ever ask your age, nor should we. We don't need to know your eye or hair color. If your picture is an accurate representation of how you look, why would we need to have you list your eye color? Why would we need to have you list your hair color? The only thing that we don't have access to on your resume or even on your picture is your height. So your height is really good to have. Just your name and your height. That's it. Please, please, please don't include your home address. Don't include your social security number or other information like that. Not relevant. Now, if you don't have an agent, that's absolutely fine. Just make sure we get a good phone number contact for you. It's really okay for you to put your cell phone number on your resume. If you still have a landline, that's fine too. If you have an answering machine, of course. The whole point is that we can get a hold of you very quickly if we need to. Some people are a little nervous about putting that your cell phone on, for example. I happen to think it's a fine idea. I understand that there are some safety concerns. You don't want a stalker in your life, that kind of thing, but use your best judgment. If we need to get a hold of you quickly, what would be the safest, most convenient way to do it? I still submit to you that it is your cell phone. You can reach me at, and then you can list either a cell phone or whatever communication means you deem useful to you. Also, at the top of the resume, make sure you list any unions that you might belong to. This is your opportunity to say your SAG-AFTRA or your Equity or your EGVA or whatever union affiliations that you might have. Obviously, you don't put any of that information on there if you're not a member of those unions. And that's absolutely fine. Don't feel like you need to pad your resume with information that is incorrect. Sometimes people want to put roles or things just because it'll help their resume look a little more fuller, flesh out your background. Nothing could be further from the truth. Be proud of who you are. It got you here. It got you to this point in your career. There's nothing you need to pad about that. I actually have a story of an actor who was auditioning for a director, but the actor had put the director's name on as having worked at that particular theater. Can you imagine? Now, the director had a kind heart and didn't say anything to this particular actor, but what an appalling situation for a casting director to be in, to know that this actor padded their resume with a credit that didn't even exist. So be really, really careful. If you lie on a resume, you're going to get caught. Underneath your name information and contact information, we need to have you list separate headings for your credits. That's where you can list stage, film, TV. Stick really to your most important or impressive roles in each of those categories. Now, if you're just starting out, it's really okay, for example, to include some community theater plays or student films. Those are all very valid. This is an informational resume, not a chronological one. So please don't follow those sort of business models that you Google resumes on. You need to, if you're going to do some Google research, which I suggest you do, just theatrical resume or resumes for actors do. So you would list your most important role first. And I am a particularly fond of three or four categories per project. The first one being the name of the project. The second one being the role that you played. Perhaps it's a name or the character's name or a principal or a lead or a guest star if you're doing film or television heading. Then followed by, if it's film or television, it would be the production company, the name of the production company. If it happened to be a director of note, somebody that is known in the business or known in the industry, that would be a good place for that as well. Then you would put the next subsequent piece of information after that. So it would be in a listed kind of format. But I like three or four pieces of information myself. Keep in mind, the filter that you would use is if you were a casting director, what information would be useful to you. And so that'll help you, I think, determine how to lay that out. The next thing to talk about after those categories would be your training. I kind of like the heading training and education. It implies that you're educated. It also implies that you've had some training. That's pretty obvious, I guess. But training and education is another subheading. And if you've graduated from a prestigious acting program, but you don't have as many credits as you would like, then that's where you would also introduce information about workshops or classes that you've taken or done. You would usually eventually cut down or eliminate those classes or workshops with those people that you've worked with and what particular classes they were over time. But you want to make sure that if that is something that you've participated in, you want to include it there. That would be really helpful for us to see. So like I said, please, please, please do not put your weight, hair, age range, home address. I've seen those and it just is a big mistake, but make sure you do put your height. If you've got a website, by the way, I didn't mention that before, put your website contact in there. Your email, of course, is critically important. If you have representation, that should be there. And if you're a singer, also list your voice range. It's got to be accurate, by the way. You really don't want to be caught or embarrassed by having you do a vocal warm-up in front of a casting person or a director. if you can't hit the range that you're saying you're able to hit, that probably will disqualify you rather dramatically. So if you think of your acting resume as a calling card, you're presenting yourself to complete strangers who know nothing about you or your talent, then you need to make sure that your resume is neatly word processed. I literally still get resumes where people have handwritten in additional credits. It's as if they couldn't take the time to write them on a word processor and incorporate it into their resume. I'm always amazed by that. The resume cannot be longer than one page. It just makes no sense. No matter how much work you've done or how little work you've done, one page is perfectly fine. Your resume is edited correctly. It's formatted well. It's proofread. That's a biggie. My gosh, I have absolutely seen McCorkle casting the name spelled wrong on a resume. Took a class with Jeffrey Driespatch. Really? Really? So make sure you update your resume on a regular basis. Proofreading is critically important. Now, it should also be in a really good, easy-to-read format. Think about it. If you come into an audition and then you hand me your resume, I see a nice picture, you're getting ready to do the audition, I flip it over on the backside, I literally have 10 to 15 seconds to scrutinize a little bit about you before you start acting. Really, 10 or 15 seconds. So the way you lay out your resume becomes critical because you are in control of what you want me to take a look at. That's why those headings, whatever size font that you use, whatever size font you use for the informational part of your resume, that is really important because you're telling me what you need me to focus on by the way you lay it out on the page. If you only have 15 seconds to scrutinize a resume and you have 45 productions, 10 of which are the same play and the same character, but different theaters, it really is kind of a disaster because you're stuffing your resume and I don't know what becomes important. Now you're making me work a little bit harder to figure out if you're going to fit into my project or not. Also, when you list the workshops and classes that you've taken, you really want me to know who you did them with. The industry gets smaller and smaller as time goes on. I'm absolutely convinced of that. And if we don't know your work, but we see a director or we see a class with an outstanding teacher, we will definitely and have called those people to ask them about you before we even bring you into an audition sometimes. And that means that information on the resume can become really valuable when we're making a snap decision about whether you're going to get a call back or not, or whether or not we're going to bring you in because we've never met you before and we want to see you on a general audition, for example. Those are very useful pieces of information from where we sit. In addition to formatting the resume, please use a font that is also easy to read. Stick to sort of the classic fonts. I don't mind having some personality in your name, for example, that should be larger, and you can certainly have fun with your brand. If you want to be taken very seriously as a serious actor, then you need to have a serious font. If you are a funny person, a funny character person, then maybe a funny character-y Comic Sans kind of font makes perfect sense for you. Think about how you're going to brand yourself. But by all means, before you decide on design, make sure you have a content that you're happy with and make sure it's easy to read. Very important that. Finally, near the bottom of the resume would be what I call special skills. I would never omit special skills on the resume. Here's why. Being able to horseback ride, being an expert swimmer, skier, volleyball player, pogo stick champion. You never know when those kinds of special skills might be called for in whatever film, television show, or stage production. Juggling. I had a resume special skill that I read once that said, can burp the alphabet. I know, that sounds really crazy and stupid, doesn't it? But by golly, every director will ask that person at the audition to burp the alphabet. It's funny and disgusting a little bit. I'm not sure that's something I would put on my resume, but on the other hand, that person gets remembered or noticed. You have to use your best judgment about whether or not that's a good choice. I will reserve judgment myself about that particular special skill. But special skills have really grown in impact and in requests from various projects that we've done. If you are also a dancer, speaking of additional skills, dancer would be probably a separate skill if that's what you want to make sure we know about you. It can be under a special skill, but the implied assumption about a dancer in special skills is that you've taken some dance classes and you probably can move okay. If, on the other hand, you've had formal training and it's a little more advanced than the average to take in a few classes, then by all means, dance should be on a separate part of the resume as well. Now, I get this question quite a few times, and I want to try to answer this as succinctly as I can. What if you just don't have very many credits on the resume and it feels embarrassing or awkward, and so you're not quite sure what you can do to make yourself look professional? Here's the answer. All of that background stuff that goes at the top of the resume, that stays the way it is. And then let me know about you. Your life experience has contributed to you being an actor now. For example, if you hold a degree in English, that's important. That would be great to know. If you've taught preschool, what is it about you that got you to where you are, is the question that should be answered if you don't have enough credits. Also, you can focus some of your life skills towards the acting profession. Customer service jobs, by the way, make very good translation to why you want to be an actor. Does that make sense? Because I think so many times people will get caught up that they don't have a lot of experience. If you're in your mid-20s, please don't have high school roles listed. If you've taken an advanced scene study class, and you've read the play and you've worked on several scenes in that class, and you feel pretty confident that you have absorbed the character and have worked on the character development and feel confident, then there's a heading that I have seen, which I, you know, the debate is still out about whether that really works or not, called representational or representative roles. So I'm not sure that that's fake-o-bake-o, a kind of way of working yourself around it, but I also think that it helps us understand where you are in your career. By all means, if you only have one or two credits and we don't know the theater or we don't know who you worked with, we get it. We get it that you're just starting out. There's no embarrassment about that. Our specialty as casting directors is to find that diamond in the rough who might just produce a fantastic result. So there's no embarrassment about that at all. This is really important. I would rather see 2, 3, or maybe 4 interesting things that you've done, that you've worked on, than 40 that fill out a page that I can't read. I know as an actor, you've probably heard this from directors, but less is more. Really, it's true. Less is more. You don't have to fill in the whole life story. It's a one-page overview of your life as a professional in the business. That's all it is. I hope this has been helpful to you. I would really love to get some feedback from you, both at castingactorscast.com, or you can email me, castingactorscast, all one word, at gmail.com. And I want to thank you so much. I'm having such a good time, and I hope you are too. So stay tuned for upcoming podcasts, where we're going to dive more into the business of show and how to be the actor you've always wanted to be. Again, thanks for listening. I'm Jeffrey Dreisbach.
You've been listening to Casting Actors Cast with host Jeffrey Dreisbach. Find out more at castingactorscast.com and let us know if you would like us to cover topics you're interested in. Thanks for listening. I'm Matthew DeSarno.